To those now in its fold, Alcoholics Anonymous has made the difference between misery and sobriety, and often the difference between life and death. AA can, of course, mean just as much to uncounted alcoholics not yet reached. Therefore, no society of men and women have ever had a more urgent need for continuous effectiveness and permanent unity. We alcoholics see that we must work together and hang together, else most of us will finally die alone. Ugh, that's my dryer. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous are, we AAs believe, the best answers that our experience has yet given to those ever-urgent questions, how can AA best function, and how can AA best stay whole and so survive? And because it's August, I'm reading the eighth month of the year tradition is tradition eight. So Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. We define professionalism as the occupation of counseling alcoholics for fee or hire. But we may employ alcoholics where they are going to perform those services for which we might otherwise have to engage non-alcoholics. Such special services may be well recompensed, but our usual AA 12-step work is never to be paid for. Okay, so the format of this meeting is as follows. Our speaker will read and share something from the 11th step with us for about 20 minutes. During this time, please keep on mute. When the speaker is done sharing and reading, I will call names for sharing. If you unmute your phone to thank the speaker or to share, please remember to mute yourself again promptly. We will end the meeting at 1 o'clock. So Chris will share with us for about 20 minutes, and please allow me to introduce Chris. The floor is yours.
My name is Chris R. I'm a very grateful recovered alcoholic. What a nice bunch. Dadgummit. I'm digging these Zoom deals. I know there's people out there that want to complain about them all the time, but I got to say, I get to see some of my buddies from England in there, and Kathleen's from my old home group where I finally got sober, guys. I mean, come on. What are the odds of me getting a chance to see her? Good heavens. And that was a long time ago. I'm not going to tell them how long ago that was, Kathleen, because I don't want to, you know, but that's a long damn time. I got to tell. Yeah. It's just so good. I'm talking to a bunch of my peeps, little AA folks, little service junkies in there. I'm grateful to be asked to do anything. And, I'd rather do this too. Noon meetings are cool. You know, sometimes I talk in California and I got to do it in my pajamas because it's too dang late. It's, I don't want to do that anymore, but you got to do what you got to do. I'm pretty overwhelmed today. It's an honor to get a chance to be a part of that. I got to do my first face-to-face conference this weekend out in Far West Texas, and first time in 5 months I've been in front of a podium out there, and it just, you know, I don't know. It was nice, and nobody was trying to hug me. It was okay, you know. So I don't know what we're going to do after this virus goes away. We'll have to start hugging, I guess. I don't want to. Some of us like to hug. Some of us don't. No hugs, no bugs. Y'all remember that. I finally got sober in 1987, folks. And today I have a home group called Ingram Solution Group. It's a little big book group. And up there in Ingram, we got a little AA club up there. And there's a bunch of groups that meet there. The only requirement is you've got to be a literature-based meeting. You can't, if you just have open discussion and want to talk about your cat, you can't have a meeting there. But if you want to talk about the literature, you can meet there anytime. And we kind of get all the little thumpers in the hill country in that one spot. It's pretty cool. Because a bunch of guys got around me in 1987 after a stupid suicide attempt at Louisville Group in Louisville, Texas. There's a couple of guys that opened a big book and they qualified me that night and showed me for the first time what it was to be an alcoholic. And I will forever, ever be indebted to big book thumpers, folks that are carrying big books that actually know what the solution is. I love everybody in Alcoholics Anonymous, folks, but you know, each group's different. Every group's autonomous, thanks to the traditions we explain, tradition four. But I'm going to hang out with the thumpers. I'm going to hang out with the people that are actually doing something other than talking about steps, that are actually doing the work. And I don't know. I'm constantly amazed at the miracles I get to see in this fellowship. Never saw as much love as I've ever seen in this world until I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. But my life changed completely because of the 12 steps. So I would never knock the fellowship in any form or fashion, but it's the steps that changed me. But I'm in AA for 7 years. Nobody will show me, and not trying to be harmful in any way at all. That's just part of my story. But just at some point in time, we just started stressing going to a meeting every day. That was the ticket instead of sitting down and opening a big book and actually working the steps. And my life changed, guys. And I haven't thought about taking a drink. And if I don't do anything stupid in a couple of months, I'll have 33 years. So I'm forever grateful. One of the things, I was fortunate to have some pretty good sponsorship early on that kind of got me through this work quickly. There was none of this step a month stuff. We got through the work quick. Within a few weeks, I've done a fifth step, and the guys in that group, guys and the girls, women in there, were showing me the disciplines of 10, 11, and 12. I mean, every day with that meeting, we would talk about, you know, steps 10, 11, and 12, the disciplines. And I had some good guidance early on from some folks that kind of explained it. If you look on the bottom of page 85, if you've got your book, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'm going to absolutely read a little bit here. The step 11 is what, 3.5 pages? It's short. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation, very bottom on page 85. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works. If you have the proper attitude and work at it, it would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. It always amazes me, Bill Wilson, and the clarity in the way he wrote this. Basically what he's saying, because I'll paraphrase it, stop tiptoeing around this stuff about God. This is unapologetically about God. Our job is to try to get connected. And it doesn't matter how you do it. I mean, God, when they wrote the traditions, when they wrote the steps, it was just this wonderfully open. Don't get me started. I mean, it was the bomb, guys. I don't care who you pray to or who you meditate around, but you're going to have to do it. And to get my friend Charlie over in Austin, he says, the 11th step is not for extra credit. You know, it's just like, it's one of the steps and we're supposed to do it. And then he gives you these great guidance. And he gets pretty clear. I just lost my spot there. When we retire at night, top of page 86, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Where were we kind and loving and towards all? Were we kind and loving towards all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time, or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures we should take. 11 step stuff, guys, the nightly review. I've got an app on my phone right here that says the 10th step. That's the title of it. You can get it in an app store. It says the 10th step, and they give you nightly review. I don't know where these people get this stuff. 10th step is the stuff that we do all through the day, folks. I step on somebody out there, and, you know, I had to do it this morning, got kind of quick with a person I work with, and had to kind of walk back over and say, man, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I'll set that straight. That's 10 step stuff. I didn't have to do a nightly review on that. I mean, I knew the minute the words came out of my mouth in the tone I used that I'd done something stupid. Hard to believe after 33 years that I could still do stupid stuff. Just shocking. but we do. And the 10 step stuff. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to direct our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, huge, dishonest, and self-seeking motives. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance. For after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when we are thinking if when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. One of the things someone pointed out years ago, and I can send it to you. I'll put my email in that chat if you want it. Any of that's a couple of things I wanted to mention in the short time I got with you. It says, in the 1938 dictionary, if you look up meditation, you're going to see that it meant thoughtful contemplation. God, there's so many people out there, guys. Look up meditation on the internet, and you'll grab 1,000 things. And there's some of them are really good, guys, and some of them are just crazy. I mean, what Bill Wilson was not asking us to do was to leave our bodies and go to an astral plane and inspect our belly buttons. It was thoughtful contemplation. I got a day ahead of me. I got a bunch of stuff I got to do. What can I do in my life here? How can I get through this and be an example of God's kids? Be an example of a man in Alcoholics Anonymous. How can I keep from stepping on other people and still get the stuff done? I mean, it's in meditation, folks. I'm supposed to contemplate about my day. Bill Wilson talks about it in these pages. He said, as we go through the day, you know, we pause when agitated or doubtful. He wants us to think about this, folks. If you listen to some folks, and this is just my thought, guys, but you listen to some folks out there, they get on this big old tear about the newcomer. You know, you're not ready to think yet. You know, you have to run everything by me and you have to talk to me about it. And I was so blessed when I got to Louisville Group that I ended up with a bunch of people that didn't spend much time at all telling me what I could not do. They told me everything. Buddy, if you're ready to try to chair a meeting, come up here. Let's go. There wasn't anybody telling me I couldn't start a business. Or they did not tell me I could not date in recovery. Buddy, if we're doing prayer and meditation, we're staying spiritually connected, the chances of getting ground up out there are pretty slim. I just, you know, there's a power out there greater than ourselves, folks. And I'll mention this. Bill Wilson said, there's a little quote I was looking at it this morning. If we expend even 5% of the time on step 11 that we habitually and rightfully lavish on step 12, the results can be wonderfully far reaching. Bill Wilson, 1958. Yeah, I got to meet a guy not long ago that had actually taught Bill Wilson how to meditate, transcendental meditation in the 60s. Fascinating stories. I mean, Bill Wilson, until the day he died, was a seeker of power, a seeker of this guidance. What a wonderful guy. I mean, so good. But Bill Wilson continues to put all the emphasis on it. Our job is to stay spiritually connected. My old sponsors used to say it, Chris. Early on, your job was to stay spiritually connected. 33 years sober, 32, excuse me, no fronts. My job is to stay spiritually connected. It's the same thing. You know, we got this little guy, and he's been drinking and doing some of those outside issues maybe, and he's just all messed up. And then we get detox good. And we come to meetings and we start actually doing this work. I don't mean just sitting in a meeting, scratching. I mean actually participating, doing some service work, helping out the group, volunteering to chair some meetings, doing something. And all of a sudden, folks, we are going to intuitively get God's guidance. If we'll shut up long enough, turn the TV off, get rid of the music, guys, just get quiet. Then what's going to happen in that quiet time is that we're going to start getting some guidance. My experience that God's trying to show us. I had an old guy in a meeting not long ago. He's always said, "Oh, the only thing this thing is about is not drinking. That's all it's about. It's not about being happy. It's not about getting." I mean, he just basically contradicted everything that was in the big book. My book says it's going to start with getting sober. The rest of this is about how to have a cool life. How to be happy, for God's sakes. That's what this is about. I mean, who wants to be dry, sitting in a meeting, absolutely miserable? That's called spiritual malady. It's called untreated alcoholism. We don't want that, you know, and don't have to. I know too many people. The happiest people I know are in Alcoholics Anonymous, and some of the most miserable SOBs I know are in Alcoholics Anonymous. Yeah. Oh, and if you sit down and get them to talk a minute, you'll find out they're not doing any of the disciplines of 10, 11, and 12. I'll just throw it out there, guys, especially sponsorship. But this meditation piece, guys, Bill Wilson got pretty direct with what he wanted us to do. What I end up doing. My sponsor, Mark, I had Mark Houston for a bunch of years, and he was a meditating fool. I come from a lineage clear back to Bill Wilson, folks. I can trace my little lineage back about nine folks and get to Bill. And, all of them, if you talk to them or you listen to any of their talks, they talk about the necessity of prayer and meditation. It wasn't an optional thing. And it was, God, there was a guy named Paul M. in my lineage. He'd meditate an hour and 30 minutes every day. He did 45 minutes in the morning and 45 minutes at night. And I strive to do the same. He was an amazing guy and wrote a bunch of great articles for the Grapevine. And I've got them. If you ever want them, I can send them to you. But he talked about this getting quiet business because it's in that stillness. They all talk about getting in a little place. I'm sitting at my desk right now, right out on the, I look out my window and see the Guadalupe River. And I'm sitting there and I got a little garden out there and I've got all my little stuff, all my little AA. Look, I've got a little Rule 62 token somebody gave me this weekend. I keep all my little AA stuff right here and at my desk and all my little, I've got some spiritual stuff that I keep on my desk and I've made a deal with Patty. I'll be nice if she'll leave my desk alone so she's not over here messing with my stuff. This is my stuff. But we sit down here and I get quiet, and that's what we do. You know, I get up early in the morning. Like, she stays up late, and I get up early, and I get to a place where I can get quiet and shut my little eyes and take some deep breaths and start contemplating the day. Just, I always, always, always have a little notebook. Always. When I sit down and meditate, if I'm on the road, in a hotel room, or I'm here, I always sit down with a little notebook. Because, folks, the purpose of doing this is not to relax. The purpose of doing this is to get the guidance that I need. What do I need to do in my life? Am I digging my job? Do I want to be doing what I'm doing? Am I in a cool relationship? All of this guidance that you're going to get will come to you in this quiet time. And it takes discipline. Old Mark used to have me sit down with an egg timer. And I'd sat back in the day. Y'all remember those? Now you've got phones. You can just hit them. There's some great sites. You can sit down there and do meditation and meditate with hundreds of thousands of other people at the same time. There's a lot of power in it. I mean, it's pretty amazing what technology can do. But sit down and just try it for 5 minutes. And if you can get 5 minutes, you're going to get distracted. If you can get 5 minutes and then do it for 10 minutes. I always try every day at least to do 15 just to get quiet and get centered, but listen to the guidance. I got to say this real quick, so I let y'all go. I talk about this, and I'll give you the example, but I've had thousands of examples of the same thing. I was sitting at this desk one night, and I was one morning early, and I was doing my meditation, and this guy's name crossed my mind. He'd been my host out in Arizona one time, in a little talk I did, and I hadn't talked to him in years, but a name just crossed my little mind in the middle of this meditation, and I made a little note, and then after it was all over with on the way to work, I called this kid, and it was early because I forgot the time difference. It was way early, and he was at the butt early, but I called him on the phone and he got real quiet. He said, "Can I call you right back?" He was crying. I could hear it in the voice. And he called me I hung up the phone and he did. 10 minutes later, he called me right back. He said, "Why in the hell did you call me this morning?" And I said, "Buddy, I don't know." And I told him I'd meditate and his name crossed my mind. And I just was just checking on him, seeing how he was doing. And he'd had a big old fight with a guy in an AA meeting and he'd walked away from AA about 6 months earlier. Just a big old hassle. You know how things get. And he just got his feelings hurt. And he said, "You know what? I'm out." And he left. But you know what happens when we don't do groups like this, when we don't have anybody to lean on, we get sick. And that's exactly what this little guy, he hadn't drank yet, but he was thinking about committing suicide. Out of the clear blue sky. And we started laughing. We started visiting a little bit. And I told him to get his butt back in there and make amends to that old geezer and go back to the home group. He did. He called me back. I talked to him all the time. Why out of the clear blue sky? Because God's in charge, folks. God's guiding us and telling us what we're supposed to be doing. And the people in this little gathering of a nice, beautiful people of 100 in here, I got to tell you, there's some of you, I can see it in the rooms. Some of you are nodding your head. You've done it. You've experienced that same kind of stuff. And some of you are grinding your teeth, looking around. I had a couple of them shaking their head like this. Okay. All right. You know, I spent my life talking about stuff I didn't have any experience with. Don't you love it when you go to a meeting and the topic is four step and the little guy says, "Well, you know, I've never actually done a four step." but, and then he's going to talk 20 minutes about, and that's something he's not, yeah, okay. There's a lot of people out there. I bet you the majority of people in Alcoholics Anonymous don't meditate on a daily basis. I bet you. And I hope they start, because I got to tell you, we need a lot of centered folks out there helping us. Bless their little hearts. It's one of my favorite steps, and I sure appreciate Carrie letting me come up here and do this. I think the key word when we're talking about 11th step is practice. It's awkward. It feels stupid. You're going to sit there, get quiet. You hear the guy's vacuum cleaner next door. The guy's mowing the lawn out here. Your mind immediately goes, that's okay. Notice it. See what it is. That's fine. Then just go straight back to what you were doing. And pretty soon all of that stuff closes out. And all you can do is you're centered. All you're doing is thinking of the cool stuff that God wants us to see. This program is now and always has been about power. I'm sorry. I know there's some people in there that love that. I'm powerless over everything. I am not. Not in 33 years. I got some power because I got a whole bunch of people just like y'all out there helping me stay on the path. My job is just to stay connected with y'all and God. So thank y'all so much for letting me share.